Hola, me llamo Jennifer, soy de Escocia y esto es un Spanish tidbit.
Okay, here's the deal. Llevar and traer in some ways are like ir and venir, but ir and venir are simpler. So if you haven't already seen the video I made on ir and venir, go back, watch that, then come back here. Llevar and traer will make a lot more sense if you already get how ir and venir work. While llevar usually translates as to take and traer usually translates as to bring, the central core idea of both verbs is to carry, to move an object from one location to another. So both llevar and traer mean to carry and can translate as to carry, even though llevar more often translates as to take and traer more often translates as to bring. So right off the bat, I don't know about you, but the fact that traer means to bring, even though it looks so much more like to take, was and is a little tricky for me. I keep this straight by reminding myself that atraer means to attract. Atraer is just traer with an A at the front, and to attract and to bring are basically the same idea. If traer is to bring, that means llevar is to take. On the other side, I remind myself that llevar is to take, basically, with the common question, ¿para aquí o para llevar? You'll hear that all the time when traveling or at any food serving establishment. It means for here or take away, or take out, or carry out. So llevar in that sentence means to take or to take away or take out, and it always means to carry. The confusion with these verbs really starts with the fact that in Spanish, in many contexts, they use llevar as to carry when we wouldn't use to carry in English. They carry clothing, like when they wear it. They carry time. Food carries toppings or ingredients. They often use llevar as to carry, either not literally or not how we normally use it. To make things worse, on the English side, we use to take so many different ways. We take medicine. We take stuff off. We take stuff from people. We take drives. We take walks. We take surveys. We take photos. We often use to take either not literally or at least not like to carry. See what's going on? It gets pretty hairy pretty fast. So here's what we're gonna do. This video is gonna be the first video in a three-part series. In this video, we're gonna talk about llevar and traer, going from Spanish to English, when they're used to convey that somebody or something is moving somebody or something from one location to another. Then in the next video, we'll cover llevar when it doesn't refer to physically carrying something or somebody from one location to another. And finally, in the third video, we'll cover the English verb to take. I think that'll be the first video I made on an English word. Cool. We'll go over all the different ways we use to take in English and which verb or verbs best communicates that idea in Spanish. We can often choose from several, but it depends on the context. But first, llevar and traer when they mean to carry in the most literal sense, to move an object from one location to another. They work a lot like ir and venir, remember? Ir means to go and venir means to come. Both verbs describe when somebody or something moves from one location to another. But which verb better describes the situation specifically depends on the speaker's point of view. When the movement is toward the speaker, they use venir in Spanish and we use to come in English. Then when the movement is toward anywhere except the speaker, they use ir in Spanish and we use to go in English. Well, like I said before, the central core idea of both llevar and traer is to carry. But when the movement is toward the speaker, they use traer in Spanish and we use to bring in English. Then when the movement is toward anywhere except the speaker, they use llevar in Spanish and we use to take in English. So ir and llevar, to go and to take, kinda go together. They both talk about movement that is not toward the speaker. Then venir and traer, to come and to bring, kinda go together. They both talk about movement that is toward the speaker. With llevar and traer, the same thing can happen physically, in real life, in front of our eyes, but which one best describes that reality depends on who's talking, on the speaker's point of view. So going back to our situation from the last video, there was a guy, Jimmy. Jimmy was at his house with his grandma. At some point, Jimmy traveled to the store, spoke to his friend at the store, then traveled back home. But what I didn't tell you was, when Jimmy traveled to the store, he had money in his pocket. And when he traveled back home, he had a bag of food with him. Jimmy bought food at the store. Seriously, sorry I held out on you. Let's look at this from the narrator's point of view first. The narrator isn't a character in the story, so the movement is rarely toward the narrator. While Jimmy's on his way to the store, the narrator would say, Jimmy is taking the money to the store. Jimmy lleva el dinero a la tienda. When Jimmy's at the store, the narrator would say, Jimmy took the money to the store. Jimmy llevó el dinero a la tienda. When Jimmy's on his way home, Jimmy is taking the food home. Jimmy lleva la comida a casa. And when Jimmy's back home, Jimmy took the food home. Jimmy llevó la comida a casa. Notice in all four sentences, the narrator said to take in English and llevar in Spanish. They said he is taking en lleva when Jimmy was on the way to the store and on the way home. Then they said he took en llevó when Jimmy was at the store and when he was back home, because the movement was never toward the speaker, the narrator in this case. Now Jimmy's point of view. When Jimmy's walking to the store, I am taking the money to the store, llevo el dinero a la tienda. When Jimmy's at the store, I brought the money to the store, traje el dinero a la tienda. When Jimmy's on his way home, I am taking the food home, llevo la comida a casa. Then once Jimmy's back home, I brought the food home, traje la comida a casa. When Jimmy was on the way to the store, then when he was on his way back home, he said, I am taking en llevo. Because in both those contexts, the movement in the sentence was not toward the speaker, Jimmy. But when Jimmy was at the store, then when he was back home, he said, I brought en traje. Because in both those contexts, the movement was toward the speaker, Jimmy still. You feel that? Now grandma's point of view. When Jimmy's on the way to the store, Jimmy is taking the money to the store. Jimmy lleva el dinero a la tienda. When Jimmy's at the store, Jimmy took the money to the store. Jimmy llevó el dinero a la tienda. When Jimmy's on his way home, Jimmy is bringing the food home. Jimmy trae la comida a casa. Then once Jimmy's back home, Jimmy brought the food home. Jimmy trajo la comida a casa. When Jimmy was on his way to the store, then while he was at the store, grandma said to take en llevar. When he was on his way there, she said he is taking en lleva. Then once he arrived at the store, she said he took en llevó. Grandma's back at the house, but Jimmy's movement was toward the store, away from the house. Grandma is one wise woman. But when Jimmy was on his way home and once he was back home, grandma said to bring en traer both times. When he was on his way home, grandma said he is bringing en trae. Then once he was safe and sound back home, she said he brought en trajo. In both those contexts, Jimmy's movement was toward the house where grandma was waiting patiently for lunch. They sure don't make them like grandma anymore. Finally, the friend's point of view. When Jimmy's on the way to the store, Jimmy is bringing the money to the store. Jimmy trae el dinero a la tienda. When Jimmy's at the store, Jimmy brought the money to the store. Jimmy trajo el dinero a la tienda. When Jimmy's on his way home, Jimmy is taking the food home. Jimmy lleva la comida a casa. Then once Jimmy's back home, Jimmy took the food home. Jimmy llevó la comida a casa. When Jimmy was on his way to the store and while he was at the store, the friend used to bring en traer. When Jimmy was on his way to the store, the friend said he is bringing en trae. Then once Jimmy was at the store, the friend said he brought en trajo. Because in both those contexts, Jimmy's movement was toward the speaker, his friend at the store. Then when Jimmy was on his way back home and once he was back home, the friend said to take en llevar. When Jimmy was on the way home, the friend said he is taking en lleva. And once he was back home, the friend said he took en llevó. Because in both those contexts, Jimmy's movement was not toward the speaker, his friend at the store. Cool? You got this? Let's take a look at some headlines now. Robaron una camioneta, la desarmaron y se la llevaron en un carro a caballo. They robbed a truck, dismantled it, and took it away in a cart pulled by a horse. So our rule of thumb basically worked. In Spanish, it's llevaron and they took it away is what we could or would say in English. Llevar means to take away in this case. Another one. Llevaron salud y juguetes a los moradores de San Miguelito por su aniversario. They took healthcare to the inhabitants of San Miguelito for their anniversary. I had to read the article a little to see what they meant by salud there. Turns out they actually took the devices and the doctors and the nurses. Again, they used llevaron and our rule of thumb gets us to the right place. They took. And we know the speaker, or the writer in this case, is not in San Miguelito. Llevar tells us the movement in the sentence is not toward the speaker, and we know the movement is toward San Miguelito. That means the speaker is not in San Miguelito. This one's the opposite. Trajeron a Miami edificios con tiendas y condominios al estilo de Hong Kong. Ahora quieren más. They brought to Miami buildings with stores and condominiums in the style of Hong Kong. Now they want more. Once again, our rule of thumb works perfectly. They said trajeron and we'd say they brought. But now we know the writer is in Miami. Trajeron tells us the movement in the sentence is toward the speaker, and we know the movement is toward Miami. That means the speaker is in Miami. Otherwise, it would have been llevaron a Miami. This one is similar. Los cruceros trajeron a Galicia a casi 350 mil turistas durante el 2017. Cruises brought almost 350,000 tourists to Galicia in 2017. They used trajeron when we would say they brought, so the rule of thumb is quite effective once again. This time, trajeron tells us the writer is in Galicia, a beautiful region in the northwest of Spain. Traer tells us the movement in the sentence is toward the speaker, and we know the movement is toward Galicia. That means the writer is in Galicia. Otherwise, it would have been llevaron a Galicia. Now, this is where things start to get a little cloudy, and this is before we get to all the other uses of llevar and all the other uses of to take, which we'll cover in the next two videos. We're still talking about literally, physically carrying something or somebody from one location to another. Remember with ir and venir, there was that bonus context where we use to come in English more often than they use venir in Spanish? Normally, venir in Spanish and to come in English is only used when the movement in the sentence is toward the speaker. But in English, we can also use to come, and it often sounds better, when the movement isn't toward the speaker, but is towards somebody who's talking to the speaker. So normally, when Jimmy's on his way to the store, he'd say, I am going to the store. But because English is weird, if Jimmy's talking to his friend, who's at the store, he can say, I am coming to the store, instead of I am going to the store. But no matter what, in Spanish, we still have to say ir when the movement is not toward the speaker. You with me? Well, with llevar and traer, there's also a bonus context. But it's not just one bonus context, it's a bunch of bonus contexts. In English, we can seemingly use to bring instead of to take whenever we want, no matter where the movement is going. When Jimmy's on his way to the store, he'd normally say, I am taking the money to the store. But it sounds fine if he says, I am bringing the money to the store, right? And it sounds fine no matter who he's talking to. When he's talking to his friend at the store, I am bringing the money to the store. When he's talking to grandma back at the house, I am bringing the money to the store, then I'll head home. When he's talking to his other friend Kimmy in the next town over, I am bringing the money to the store, then I'll head your way. I'm not saying it always sounds better with to bring, but it certainly doesn't sound bad or weird in any of those contexts. Compare that to the bonus context from to come, and you see the difference right away. When Jimmy's on his way to the store, talking to grandma back home, he can't say, I am coming to the store. That would be weird. If Jimmy were talking to his friend Kimmy in the next town, he can't say, I am coming to the store. That would be weird. Jimmy can only say, I am coming to the store when he's talking to his friend who's at the store. So when the movement is toward the person talking to the speaker. This creates a couple problems for us. First, when we see a sentence in Spanish with llevar and the English translation says to bring, we can't let that freak us out, confuse us, or make us doubt what we know. English is weird, so llevar can translate as to take or to bring. No matter what though, llevar still always means the movement is not toward the speaker. But second, the bigger problem. When we see a sentence in English like he is bringing the money to the store, without more context, maybe they're using to bring like they use traer in Spanish. The movement is definitely toward the speaker. Or maybe the movement is not toward the speaker, but since English is crazy and illogical, to bring can still be used. If we know what's going on though, it's easy. If we know that grandma is the one talking, then it's llevar. Grandma would say, he is bringing the money to the store, él lleva el dinero a la tienda. It has to be llevar because the movement is toward the store, but grandma is back at the house in the opposite direction. Then, if we know it's the friend talking and he's at the store, it'd be traer. The friend would say, he is bringing the money to the store, él trae el dinero a la tienda. Now it has to be traer because the movement is toward the store and so is the friend, who is the speaker. So bottom line, with llevar and traer, just like with ir and venir, Spanish is religious, disciplined, and systematic, while English is, well, English is not. English is a mess, and that hurts us as English speakers as much as it hurts English learners. Thanks, English. But when talking about the literal and physical act of carrying something or somebody from one location to another, going from Spanish to English is pretty easy. Our rule of thumb really works most of the time. Llevar is to take, and traer is to bring. In fact, when I was looking for headlines to use in this video, the first 10 headlines Google gave me when I typed in trajeron, in every single one of them, 100%, they brought was not only a possible translation, but the best translation. The same thing basically happened with llevar. The first 10 headlines that Google gave me when I typed in llevaron could all easily be translated as they took. A few of them could have been translated as they brought, but even with those ones, they took was still fine and didn't sound weird at all. Might have even sounded better. Now, just to make sure, you have downloaded the free Spanish battle plans I made, right? If not, I'd get on that. The most common questions I get are, Jordan, where do I start? What do I do? In what order? I totally get it. Anytime we learn something, the beginning is the hardest part. Learning is all about giving context to new information. How does this new information fit in with what I already know? How does it contradict it? But in the beginning, we have zero context. We don't know anything, so it's super hard. That's why I made the Spanish battle battle plans, a series of roadmaps, you can use them as checklists, showing you exactly what you need to learn to speak Spanish. Each person's journey is unique. We're all at different points and better or worse at certain things. But no matter what your level is, these Spanish battle plans will give you the clarity you need and probably crave. And they're totally free too. Find the link below this video or wherever and download them right away. A special shout out to Jennifer in Escocia, which is Scotland, for that great intro with the Hola shirt and everything. I get a message probably 3 or 4 times a week from gringos telling me they love their shirts and everybody else loves their shirts and confirming they really do get the conversation started in Spanish if you let it. Thank you so much, Jennifer. Okay, that's it. Until the next tidbit, my name's Jordan and I love Spanish.